1 o'clock, we can go ahead and get started. Some announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such time as you are presenting or asked to speak. And addressing the board, please ask your full name first. Be sure to speak clearly. And attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationhigh.org. The public may also provide comments in the public comments section of the meeting agenda. These accommodations will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodation notice. As required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School regular board meeting, operated by the Education Corporation and California Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation, for Tuesday, April 9, 2024, at 1 p.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Mike Lyons is here. Claudette Beck.
Here.
Frank Picasa.
Here.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Here.
And we're all present at a point. We have a quorum for today's meeting. Pledge of Allegiance, I'll ask Dr. Rathgeber to lead us in the pledge.
Stand. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Staff introductions, school governance.
Thank you very much, President Adams, members of the board, those in attendance, those online. My name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Shelley Hanks, School Superintendent.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel, and then pleased that we have my colleague Adam Miller here with us as well.
Thank you. And presenters, please introduce yourselves.
Good afternoon. This is Geeta Shaiki, CFO with LLIC.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Corinne Manley, Area Superintendent.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Lily Child, School Principal.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. I would like a motion to approve the agenda for the April 9, 2024 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
I guess I'll make a motion.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item F. I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the February 27, 2024 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Picasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Picasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have 2 items on the consent agenda. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve the revised uniform complaint policy and procedures. And number 2, the board will be asked to approve the revised academic integrity and plagiarism policy and update the school's 2024-2025 parent-student handbook. Does any board member want to pull a consent agenda item for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Madam Beck, I'll make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Bukowski, I'll second.
That was a motion by Clyde Effect, seconded by Frank Bukowski. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck.
Aye.
Frank Bukowski.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comments? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, good afternoon. This is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, finance update, Peter Shreepy.
Thank you, board. I have two updates. We'll start with the line of credit for the schools, and this document is for the board's information. It's updated as of February 29, 2024. On the top portion, you'll see Hamni line of credit for the school, which shows the school currently maintains $500,000 of line of credit at an interest rate of 9%, which hasn't changed since my last update with the expiration date of November 3rd, 2024. The school hasn't drawn from this line of credit, and also the school has met all the covenant requirements that the bank asked us to calculate to show that the school is in a good financial health so that they can maintain the line of credit. On the bottom section, you'll see LLAC's line of credit with the school. And here, this is through a promissory note that the board has approved at the fixed rate of 6% for the fiscal year. And here the school has approved $300,000 line of credit, and they haven't drawn from this line of credit. So this is my update for the line of credit for the school. And if any questions, you can maybe we can discuss after my second report on the budget for the school. So as you all know, the state budget directly impacts the education budget, Prop 98, which is about 40% of that of the state budget comes to education. LCFF funding through that is a school significant portion of the budget for fiscal year 24-25. And according to the Legislative Analyst Office of California, is facing $68 billion deficit in fiscal year 24-25, which is much higher than the governor's anticipated deficit calculations. The legislator and the governor, knowing that the budget situation has gotten very bad, they've taken what they call an early action agreement, which they believe will lessen the shortfall by about $17.3 billion. So that does not mean that they fix the whole problem. What it means is that they hope that these measures will allow them to avoid any drastic cuts to education and other basic services in the final budget when it gets approved in June. Obviously, these accounting maneuvers do not address the underlying weakness in our economy. So if our current path continues where the state, and if the state is not able to use these tactics for next year, there'll be a significant risk and a weakness for the state, which later on will impact the education budget. Currently, to do a quick fix, they're considering some reductions in other areas to maintain education funding the same, some revenue and borrowing, some delays, and some funding shifts to other areas, as well as they're considering deferrals for 1 month, and that would be in the month of June of 2025, deferral to July of 2026. But one thing to note is that the state has a budget problem, not a cash problem. So just so that the board is aware, these maneuvers are just so that they move the dollars as far as the budget from 1 year to another on the deferral end. We anticipate more budget trimming when the final budget is signed, and I will keep you posted as we hear more details, specifically in the governor's May revision. I believe that they will preserve the COLA, which they've announced in January revision, the governor, at 0.76 for LCFS. But beyond that, everything else might change. And we'll just look at how the revenues will come to state. Currently, it looks like the revenues are coming in more than anticipated, which is a good news. Education continues to be a high priority for governor. So if nothing horrible happens with the reserves, most of the education will be preserved. On the federal side, on March 28, President Biden signed the fiscal year federal budget. And with that, it had Title I in it because the school received Title I. The Title I received about $20 million increase, but keep in mind that's just across the board. So this is not a big significant increase, but then also at least we know that there won't be any cuts. So again, we will watch the state budget and keep you all informed of any new information. And with that, I conclude my report. And if any questions, happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to ICD, legislative update. Bob Morales.
Yes, and Bob wasn't able to be with us, board president, so he asked me to share a few notes with the board. He and his team have been reviewing the education bill list, and there are, of course, quite a number of bills on that list. A handful of those they're watching closely because they do pertain to independent study or charter schools, but only one of them is scheduled for a hearing. Committee hearing yet, so they'll pay attention to that and see what happens in those. There's nothing in any of the bills that they've seen that should concern us greatly right now. Gita did a great job explaining the budget situation, and then that, of course, will be paid attention to in Sacramento as well. The committee hearings are beginning in earnest, and we'll know more this month about education and appropriation bills and other legislation. We will continue to sponsor tours for the balance of the calendar year, meet with legislators and staff and other individuals. And Bob will actually be in Sacramento next week to do that. So he and a number of his people will be meeting with those good people. Assemblyman David Alvarez reached out and is looking for nominations of outstanding teachers from this district in San Diego. So information has been forwarded to appropriate individuals so we can get some teachers considered for that. A couple of weeks ago, the film La Lucha, Getting Schooled in America, was shown at the California Charter Schools Conference, and it was very, very well received. And just this morning, the LA Times ran a very favorable article about our film, La Lucha, Getting Schooled in America. It just came out this morning. So that was really neat to see that. Our schools will show the film in their own areas and also to elected officials, community partners, and staff. And that concludes Bob's report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, area superintendent update. Gordon Mandel.
Thank you, President Adams. So I'm going to review the data sheet as of learning period 8, which is the end of February. You can see there are demographic information on the left, as always, and then on the right-hand side is where we're at with our enrollment. Graduation rate, still a work in progress, right? We're not at the end of the school year yet. And LPA utilization was at 89%, which was growth for us. Overall credit completion 2.25 and core credit completion at 1.12. The chart down below on the right will show that we are higher than we were last year as far as enrollment goes, and we do expect that to continue. With that 12 new enrollments today will certainly help. On the second page of the sheet, again, the comparison from last year and year-to-date information. for our credit completion, our ADA utilization, and for credit completion. Clearly, we have some growth in our credit completion that we're going to really be focusing on in the next coming months and for next school year to get our students to progress a little faster, right, toward graduation. And so definitely on our radar and our area of focus, and to continue our ADA growth as well. I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, local control and accountability plan goals and metrics. Mark Manley.
All right. So, as you all know, the LCAS is a really important document, an ongoing document for our schools. And beginning on page 36, you'll see the LCAS data report for the LCAS, for the Local Control and Accountability Plan. A school's LCAP is a comprehensive document that serves as a roadmap for educational success, emphasizing transparency, engagement, and equity. Grounded in the principle of local decision-making, the LCAP outlines the school goals, actions, and expenditures to support student achievement and well-being. The LCAP also incorporates a system of metrics and assessments to measure progress and effectiveness, ensuring accountability and continuous improvement. So on slide 9, the next slide, you'll see our goal 1 of increasing academic progress. And you probably see it a little easier in your packet. But for this goal, we continue to look for ways to improve programs and build capacity to support student learning and increase academic progress. So we did see increases in both our Lexile and our Quantile growth scores, so how our students are doing in reading and math, with scores of 994 and 750. Average credit completion is 2.08, and our English learner reclassification is currently at 80% through LP7, bringing us closer to the statewide average of 8.6. And then through our differentiated assistance process, we're looking closely at data related to the state priorities for student achievement with support from our county-level technical assistance with Riverside County. And just a reminder, we're working our differentiated assistance with Riverside County since you're not allowed to get that support from your authorizer. And then the learning provided by this technical assistance will be brought back to our team to grow collective capacity for implementing improvement actions. And of course, we're always reviewing our data like NWDA and our annual survey data to provide local context to guide our decision-making. Our next goal for goal 2 is college and career readiness. And for both priority number 1 and priority number 7 of the California dashboard, 100% of our students continue to have access to standards aligned materials as well as a broad course of study. For priority number 2 of the California Dashboard for implementation of state academic standards and EL courses, we scored a 4.63 out of 5. And for priority number 8, we're increasing participation in career-ready courses with 51 students participating in CTE and 80 students completing professional skills. Our test scores remain to be determined, of course, because we're right in the middle of testing season right now. Goal 3 metrics. For goal number 3 for student retention, we're really proud of the hard work that our faculty and staff have done here building systems for support and re-engagement across all departments. And our success rate is at 96.3%. Attendance is at 89.94%. And then retention rate also increased to 94.65% while decreasing our dropout rate from 7.49 to a historical low of 3.29. Our suspension rate did increase slightly from 0 to 0.39%, which is still really, really low. And this was just due to a single incident this year. But overall, our school remains safe and connected as reported in our annual survey results. And these successes are in large part due to having a really dynamic team of student services and staff to support our personalized learning model. The next goal for metrics, we continue to make strong growth here as well to increase educational partner engagement. attendance numbers and continuity of participation for parents at our PAC and ELAC meetings continue to improve, with numbers more than doubling from last year. And what we're really most excited about is that we're seeing families come back and participating at multiple meetings more often. So there's a consistency there that we haven't seen before. And this is really crucial because deepening authentic educational partner engagement is a priority for ongoing school improvement. And we've expanded the numbers of educational partner meetings, opportunities, and continue to work toward breaking down barriers for meaningful parent engagement through providing professional translation services and delivering information in parent-friendly language. For our annual survey results this year, which I'm going to go a little deeper into for the next item, we're proud that our results show 100% of parents feeling connected to the school, 100% of students feeling safe and encouraged, and 100% of staff feeling connected. And that is my report on the LPAT. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, this is David Redfield. Looking at goal one, academic progress,
yes.
I recognize it was 200 some odd students, four students makes a big difference, right? So,
right.
But we're looking at the data, and some of the data looks better than others. Is there anything on here that you're worried about?
Probably just our credit completion, honestly. We really need to ramp that up across the school in general. Although, you know, there's fluctuate kind of naturally throughout the school year, that's our focus for this coming year, is to really get that up. Because that just means our students are progressing more quickly toward graduation, and that's really what our students need.
Okay.
Everything else.
Do you have plans in place for that?
Excuse me?
Have plans in place for that?
Yes, absolutely. And we're actually ramping up for the next school year, which means planning and goal setting. Lily and I were just talking about it earlier. Of getting our leadership team together and really having clear goals and also clear supports in place to help our teachers and all of our staff to work toward that goal, support our students towards reaching that goal. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other questions and comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, school survey report. Courtman.
All right, me again. Fired me after this. Our LCAP report, I just mentioned a couple little touch points there. There is all the survey results and data in your packet, so I'm not going to go through every single one. You're welcome. But please feel free to look at your leisure. But the data starts on page 41 in your packet. And for our student survey results, we're really proud that we've had 191 students participate, and that was 76% of our student body completed the survey, which is an increase from 56% from last year. So really, really good push there. 100% of our students reported feeling safe, 96% reported feeling connected, and our answers to the social emotional learning questions shows us that while our students are self-aware and have self-regulation skills, there are still areas of need to ensure that all students build these social-emotional competencies, especially in the skills of stress management and relationships. One area we do want to focus on for improvement is with individual students feeling a sense of belonging. 16% of students responded uncertain when asked if they feel like they belong at school. This year, our school social worker held social-emotional learning workshops focused on topics like stress and anxiety management and healthy relationships. And we also want to improve the number of students that participate in some of these opportunities and also in extracurricular activities, as we know that active participation outside of the academic setting acts as a protective factor against adverse outcomes. And our survey showed that 27% of students stated they have yet to participate in any extracurricular activities. And another 31% stated that they rarely participate. So this year, we increased the number of activities for both on-site events and off-site events, like field trips and experiential learning. But again, based on those survey results, we want to make sure that the students are feeling that they want to attend and that they have the opportunity to attend. The future goals questions showed us that a majority of our students plan to attend community college or join the workforce, and that there is a wide range of interest in dual enrollment course topics ranging from business to fashion to engineering. One area of note was that we saw that business and finance is the highest interest for both career and technical education and dual enrollment. Nursing and cosmetology were second and third for dual enrollment, and arts, media, and entertainment is second, and education and child development third for career technical education. As far as parent survey results, we had 66 parents participate in our annual survey, which increased from 45 responses from last year and 14 responses the year before that. So we've come a long way. Made steady progress and hope to continue next year. Overall, our families feel informed about events and activities and connected to our school with 100% stating they would recommend our program to others. Our families feel safe. Our school is safe, encourages regular attendance and supports student progress toward graduation. And 94% feel the school keeps them well informed. 98% feel encouraged to participate, which we're really proud of because this was an area from last year that we wanted to improve on. And then finally, for staff survey results, we were also very happy with our increased participation. This year, all 32 staff members participated in the annual survey. Staff reported feeling safe, connected, and valued. Areas of growth based on results include academic rigor, academic progress, and teacher-to-parent partnership. Staff have a positive view of leadership and feel that the professional development and training offered is valuable. The two areas, again, for improvement are the rigorous coursework and the teacher-parent partnerships that we're going to look into. And that is my report.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments from the board?
Before we move on, can we go back to Lily's slide? We accidentally skipped the...
Oh, Lily! Sorry.
We thought she was
Okay, so a student surprised staff members by bringing donuts to give out simply because he wanted to show out his appreciation. It's gestures and moments like this that really remind us of all the hard work and extra hours, and sometimes headaches and heartaches are always worth it. On the left, you see some examples of our Hope Program area. OCI upgraded our Hope area this year and moved it from an office onto our main floor to provide more space and inclusivity for our parenting students. Consequently, we've seen a substantial increase in its usage this year, with the area being used every day by our students and their children, further providing that not only is it needed, but improves our overall school environment. And our social worker, Ms. Gomez, continues to offer mental health workshops as we lead into Mental Health Awareness Month in May, focusing on relevant topics that impact our students, like anxiety and stress management. Our Anaheim Learning Center hosted a comprehensive support and improvement meeting for our tutors and paraprofessionals across our region to review data practices and academic interventions, and also review the data from the California dashboard. This is the third meeting of the year as tutors and paraprofessionals meet once a quarter as a professional learning community to monitor progress to our CSI goal of increasing access to tutoring by 50%. Tutoring is a distinguishing feature of our educational model and a research-proven strategy to increase student achievement, and we're committed to expanding one-on-one tutoring to more students, especially our English learners and socioeconomically disadvantaged students, which are identified on our California dashboard. In alignment with LCAP goal number 2 for building college and career skills, which places a strong emphasis on workforce development and supporting students with employment and post-secondary plans, we hosted a college and career resource fair. This event was a fantastic opportunity for our students to explore college options, career paths, and essential resources that can contribute to their personal and professional growth. Students from across our region, with a total of 130 students, included 31 from OCI, were bused from their respective learning centers to connect with a broad array of organizations ranging from colleges like Fullerton, Long Beach City College, and CSU Dominguez Hills, specialized schools like Musician Institute and Cerritos College Cosmetology Department, employers like Amazon, trade unions like Western State Carpenters, and workforce readiness partners like Ready Set OC. Students displayed their excitement during the event, and many expressed their gratitude for partaking in this enriching experience. And the homelessness crisis is real, especially in OC, and its impact has never been more apparent for our students and families, as evidenced by the growing numbers of students enrolling who are classified as homeless. While we fully recognize the importance of wraparound services, the simple truth is sometimes the most basic needs and materials are equipment. And to this end, we combine resources from both our Title I and Community Schools Fund to provide an extra layer of support for our students experiencing homelessness or housing transition. We purchase increased inventory of vital supplies such as sleeping bags, suitcases, portable lights, and external batteries, first aid kits, sunscreen, warm weather clothes, and more, and package them in suitcases for each of our students experiencing homelessness. This concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Lily. Any questions or comments from the board?
We're at 2-1. Great work working with those homeless students. That'll keep them engaged and give them a leg up. So great work on that. Two, very quickly, Slideology, and I don't even know how it possibly happened, but it threw me off when I first looked at it. On page 60 of our packet, the annual survey results tab, the first page, the first bar in each background question has the numbers and the percentages inverted. Don't even know how the program did that, but it caught my attention. I said, that's more than 8%. Oh, it's the number 8, where all the others are percentages. So if anybody other than us is going to see this, you might want to look at that.
Thank you. Thank you. Page 60,
the first bar in each chart. I don't even know how that happens because the program normally does that itself.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item F, CDE notification of 2022-2023, annual determination pursuant to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and selection for 2023-2024, special education monitoring activities. Heather Stu.
Thank you. Hello, board. My name is Heather Stu. I support special programs at LLAC. And each year, the CDE requires schools to evaluate their special education population and address any disproportionate representation. Significant disproportionality is an overrepresentation in the same area within the same population for 3 consecutive years. So Orange County workforce has been found significantly disproportionate in Hispanic students eligible under the category of specific learning disability. So you might recall this is the 3rd year that OCS has developed plans to support Hispanic student demographic on their campus. The school is required to utilize 15% of IDEA funding to support general education students in those groups that were over-identified. So Orange County Workforce will be providing CDE quarterly progress reports on goals and activities, as well as the budget expenditures. An assurance of compliance will be provided for President Adams' signature and the school team to demonstrate their commitment to the process and the accurate funding allocation. Are there any questions from the board at this time?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to item G, 2024-2025 draft board meeting date. That is on page 74 of your board packet. And again, the dates of the next meetings for next year are August 27th, October 15th, December 3rd, February 25th of 2025, April 8th of 2025, and June 3rd of 2025, all meetings at 1 p.m. at this meeting location. So please annotate your calendars to reflect next year's meeting schedule. 5, action items, item A. The board will be asked to approve the amended Conflict of Interest Code. Mr. Martino.
Thank you, President Adams, and good afternoon, board. In your board packets, please refer to the amended Western Educational Corporation Conflict of Interest Code and includes the position of Chief Operating Officer, as was shared as an informational item during the last board meeting. At this time, I am asking the board to approve the amended Conflict of Interest Code, which will be submitted to the Fair Political Practices Commission for further approval as part of the 2024 COI biannual review. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5A.
Make a motion to approve action item 5A.
Thank you.
Frank Bacasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Bacasa. Any further discussion?
Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Hudson.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much, President Adams, members of the board. I'd like to direct this to Superintendent Hanley. Coming into a struggling area like that and seeing it level off and begin to grow, I'm looking forward to the future. I know that you're in a position to make that happen. I see a 97% doing this, a 98%. I want to see all hundreds coming up pretty soon. But thank you so much for your report, Corinne, and the rest of the staff. Back to you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent?
Nothing more from me, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Haynes? Mr. Thompson?
Thank you.
And Ms. Bentley? Maybe on mute.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. Any board members have any observations or comments at this time? If not, we'll move on to item 7, closed session. We'll be adjourning the open public board meeting to go into closed session. At this time, I'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session for number 1, public employee performance evaluation under government code section 54957B1, title superintendent, and number 2, conference with labor negotiator under government code section 54957.6, agency designated representative Steve Churchwell or Jenny Kringle, unrepresented employee area superintendent. And I have a motion to go into closed session.
Senator Beck, I'll make a motion to go out of our regular meeting and go into closed session.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
And Dr. Dave Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are now going into closed session. Thank you very much. Okay, report of action taken. Seconded by Frank Costin. And on a unanimous vote, board of voters, you leave the closed session and return to the open public board meeting. No action was taken on either of the 2 closed session items. Item 9, closing items. The next regular board meeting date is June 4th, 2024.
Oh, yep.
We have to take care. Oh, that's right. Action item 8A, board will be asked to review and approve the salary range for area superintendent compensation. Mr. Thompson.
Yes, thank you, Board President Adams. And after the board having an opportunity to hear from and consult with Steve Churchwell or Popo, it's recommended that the range for area compensation superintendent be $170,000 to $198,750, and that is a slight increase from the at the top end, as it was formerly $185,500. So the new range that we're requesting the board approve is $170,000 to $198,750.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 8A.
Madam Beck, I'll make a motion to approve action item 8A.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathke.
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Now we go to 9, closing items. The next regular board meeting date is June 4th, 2024 at 1:30. May I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you.